Welcome back to Pack Your Mics. This is the Top Chef podcast from the creators of Read It and Weep. I'm Tanya. I am your host. And I'm here in Brooklyn with Chris.
What's cracking?
And in the Bay Area, we have Ezra and Sarah and Caleb.
Hello.
With some juice.
Juice.
Oh, and you know what? I'm sorry. I'm already doing kind of a weird job. You guys, I would like you to identify yourselves as either surf or turf. Choose wisely.
Chris in Brooklyn is clearly surf.
Oh, interesting. So you would be the spot prawn to my ribeye?
Yeah.
Because I'm totally turf.
Yeah, I know you're turf. I'm definitely surf. How many times? I always order fish. Always.
Fair enough. What do you think, Bay Area?
Well, so this last weekend, I had a pretty rough bout of food poisoning, which I'm going to blame on the surf. So I'm just going to say,
the surf has left you?
Yeah, well, are like just like rocks or like just water? Is that an option? Pedialyte? I'll take Pedialyte.
So the tide has gone out as
yes,
surf has wronged you.
Surf, I'm blaming surf. I'm blaming food generally, but surf especially.
Since I was there to bear witness to it all, I'm definitely not surf either. I'm gonna have
really?
To go with turf.
Oh, you're wearing that turban. You got that surf, you know, like
I know.
Look.
You know, it might be more of a toss up, but in the past.
Yeah, I would rather.
So you might be like beach?
Yes.
Oh, beach.
I'm definitely beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good
the answer is I'm Santa Barbara, California.
I could recommend, guys, just in the future, maybe properly cook your surf is just what I would say. No raw surf is what I'd say unless you really know where it's coming from.
That is our hot tip so far.
I've never gotten food poisoning before.
Good for you.
So I'm not
you want a medal?
Well, that's
no, I'm
so sure. Bragging out of Portland, Oregon, we have Alex and Megan.
Hello.
What are we, Megan? Are we surf or turf?
I mean, I'm definitely turf. Yeah.
I feel like, so I'd rather be surfing than turfing, but I'd probably eat turf over eating surf since it's a beverage.
Wait.
Surf is, what?
No, I think you're wrong. But it's not a beverage. It's not.
Well, they're referring to the thing that lives on the turf.
I mean,
the thing that
we're vegetarians, so we're either going to drink the ocean or eat the grass, I think is our option here.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you could have kelp, right?
Creative license.
Yeah,
yeah. You ever
have
those like
seaweed snacks from Trader Joe's?
I was going to say it.
Seaweed snacks are really pretty much where it's at.
I am surf.
Yeah, team kelp.
Boom.
Yeah, Chris is recruiting hard for surf.
Oh, man. Team surf.
Yeah,
guys, I'm going to suggest no one ever eats again. That's what I would recommend.
Neat idea. No more food.
Team sensible fasting. That's what I say.
It's a really good thing. I just realized we watched this episode the night before this went down. Otherwise, we would not be here right now.
Also, if I have to duck out at any point, I will.
Are you sure it's food poisoning and not norovirus? Because everybody's getting norovirus.
It could be.
No, so that's the thing. So half of food poisoning cases are caused by the norovirus. It's just like it's a foodborne past thingy. Yeah.
You get it.
I've definitely had norovirus from a baby, and you guys have one. So,
well, that baby, that was through the baby's like poop or other stuff. So deal with that.
I don't think that's how it happened.
Yeah, man.
This is a great opening to Top Chef, but yes, norovirus is a total past virus.
Welcome to Top Pathogens.
Try to empathize with my buddy.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, norovirus is bad. So if you had that, then we're on the same team again.
Yeah,
team not norovirus.
Yeah. Well, when we're not coping with norovirus, we are talking about Top Chef. And so I guess that brings us to our discussion of episode 3 of season 13. Let's get started by talking about the quickfire. So the chefs road trip it to beautiful Santa Barbara.
And we sumptuous.
Get little backstory snippets. Mm-hmm. And Dana Cowan greets them in a vineyard with Padma, and they start their quickfire challenge. And how did we feel about the quickfire? Does somebody want to talk us through?
Well, can I just pre-quickfire?
Pre-quickfire? Yeah,
I
go for it, Alex.
I really enjoyed LA last week. I thought it seemed like a really cool city. It seemed like food there was great. And I just had a real hard time caring about Santa Barbara.
Oh, okay. So we're starting with an understanding or lack thereof of Santa Barbara.
I guess he gets it. He just doesn't like it.
No, I guess I just like. The real point here is, I guess, my issue with these meta seasons, the travel seasons, is that I love getting to really know a city, and this feels like we're on a cruise ship and we're getting 6 hours in Los Angeles and then we're going to be on to some other port of call. And I'm just not sure. I just would love to see more of Los Angeles, and I'm just not sure Santa Barbara has enough to offer.
Right.
Well, I mean,
they are only there for one day.
Exactly. So we'll ever get a deep dive into Santa Barbara because we're on full, this other place.
Full disclosure, I did not actually realize we were in Santa Barbara.
Oh, you
didn't? Nope. So I guess I'm with Alex on this one.
So the things they're highlighting about Santa Barbara are wine, as evidenced in this wine and food pairing quick fire. And then the fact that it's both on land and near the ocean.
It's not an underwater city.
Only Santa Barbara, I think, is that's the first place in the world that's like that, right?
It's a very unique feature of Santa Barbara.
They're highlighting this one woman who grabs sea urchins off the floor.
Sure.
Yeah, Stephanie Mutz.
Stephanie Mutz, good old Mutz. Always good to see Mutz back on Top Chef.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Showing us the way of the uni.
Yeah. Sea urchin, for those of you who don't know uni.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess I felt like there were a couple of ineffectual elements here. So we have like a kind of a quick road trip moment that is truncated for time, obviously. And then we also dive right into some uni harvesting, which is like super quick. Mm-hmm. And then we're kind of right into the challenge.
Yeah.
But I don't know that watching them all shake hands with Stephanie like helped me in any way.
Well, we got to see Philip introduce himself.
Go ahead, Chris.
Oh, okay. We got to see Philip introduce himself after the whole spiel when they're leaving. Philip, because he wants to make friends with all the local producers, like introduces himself specifically to Stephanie, be like, "I'm Philip, by the way," and has this like wonderful little handshake, and like it was very networky.
Right, you know me from my billboard. Los Angeles.
I think that was the only thing we got out of it, and that the uni are from right there.
Yeah. The other thing that we got was a teaser, because I thought as soon as I saw the boats, I was like, oh, great, they're going to be wet and it's not going to matter.
I did too.
So yeah. I kind of like that it was just meeting the producer and it wasn't like, we're going to pretend you fished for this yourself.
Right.
Yeah. Nobody has a barrel full of uni that they're trying to like
wait
grab.
A second, guys. Can we just like... Wouldn't it be great if they just like strapped a bunch of sponges to someone and then just like kind of like dragged them along the ocean floor and hope they collect enough uni to make it work?
Yeah.
Chef will be weighted and attached to a trawler.
This is by far the most dangerous and like least effective way of trawling for uni.
How could the deadliest catch be not that? Because that seems so much more deadly.
100% of people who do that job die from it.
The show about it is really short.
We're really getting really get into the sudden death quick.
The canceliest show.
It's about a 4-minute show.
So when we say sudden death, we just mean you're actually going to die at the bottom of the ocean.
Pretty suddenly.
Full of urchin spies.
Sorry, Giselle.
Sorry about you, Giselle. So we haven't talked about the quickfire and the immunity issue yet this season, but I feel like
it's been a whole episode before we've complained about those two things.
Yeah, yep. I wanted to know. I mean, and the way that it's being brought back. So we have another sudden death quickfire. That's a format that's newer to the show. And so the person who gets the lowest ranked dish in the quickfire then has to choose somebody to face off against. If they lose, they get sent home. If they win, then they both stay. And how's that feeling as we return to that format? Alex?
I like that. I mean, when they said sudden death, I forgot this new format for a second, and I hate so much when they just sent somebody home, but the double cook-off is kind of fine, because if you do lose both of those in a row, I guess I can't. But like every time somebody's like, oh, I don't want to go out on a sandwich challenge, like at least when you on a quickfire, I agree with them. Normally, like you have to go home for something, but on a quickfire, it does feel like you had 15 minutes to cook something with dirt. Like obviously, you didn't do a great job. Doesn't mean that you're a bad chef. So when you go home on a quickfire, it's a real bummer. So I like the double safety. Mm-hmm. There's too many chefs on my TV, so I wouldn't have minded terribly if one of the bad ones went home.
I also appreciate that a chef does have to kind of work at it to get kicked off at the quickfire, but that they can. Mm-hmm. If you fail doubly, you're out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It does provide that element of safety.
Yeah. I was not terribly surprised by the way that went down.
Yeah.
you guys
I think they should have been upfront about the format, because I felt duped by it's sudden death, but then, I mean, not really quite that much sudden death.
Right.
Slow, painful death.
There's less death than originally advertised.
Yes.
Suddenly, you're in a cook-off for sudden death.
I like to know more about my death before it happens, you know.
Really define those terms. Yeah.
Huh.
Did you guys think that what did you guys think of the overall quality of the dishes? Or, you know, is there anything that we can say about the food?
Remember. I feel like it's, oh. So let's complain about immunity. We're going to start there. Still hate immunity. Really?
Alex still hates immunity. Welcome back to Pack Your Mics.
It was really, Grayson got immunity and I was furious.
Yeah,
but then she did well later.
She won with the pairing, right? Yeah. I'm sorry, Megan, go ahead.
Oh, she won later, so it didn't matter if she had immunity or not. So it was one of those where she got immunity and it was fine.
Yeah.
I feel like that, yeah.
But I still was upset that she couldn't go home because I wanted her to go home so bad.
Yeah. I really thought it was going to be her time because I forget exactly what she said, but it was like, I'm trying to hide the uni as much as I can. And Ez and I both looked at each other like, oh, yeah, she's going down.
Yeah. But then she's like, my boyfriend is really good at picking wines, and so I'm half good at picking wines.
Yeah.
And Dana Cowan's like, oh, my God, somebody who's half good at picking wines. This is a godsend.
Wait, but she did. She only did marginally better than the guy who didn't taste his wine because he's sober now.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, it's actually pretty good, even though you didn't taste it. Good job.
Yeah, I think it was termed as surprisingly good.
Yeah.
Pairing,
randomly good.
Yeah.
You lucked out, buddy.
If his dish had been good, it totally would have worked out.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like there was a fair amount of I don't know. I mean, I guess I go back and forth. Like, it seemed like it was kind of half and half as far as successes and failures, but then we have so many people that we're still working through that's actually not surprising at all.
For example, Cajun Man 5000 cooked a dish that they really liked, but he wasn't the top three, so we just didn't get him mentioned.
Yeah.
Swamp people. Yeah, him.
Yeah, swamp people, but, you know, crazier.
Yeah. Do you guys like how swamp people and is evolving, or who else is like really character-wise changed this week?
Well, I feel like, I mean, we touched just a little bit on Grayson's surprising competence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shocking.
So she takes a turn for the, she takes a turn for the knows what she's doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which actually, I think maybe she was thrown off her game in the first couple episodes and now she's regressing to the mean, which is to say like her normally, no, what I mean is she is normally a competent chef. She did quite well, you know, like top five or top six in the season she was on. She can do this. And I think, you know, even though we think she's kind of annoying, or at least speaking for myself, I think she's kind of annoying. But the fact that she is suddenly finding or remembering how to do a Top Chef, isn't surprising.
Also, Pigpen got way cleaner this week. What happened there?
Yeah, he kind of calmed down.
Yeah.
He was so dirty episode one. Episode two is fine. Episode three is fine.
Yeah.
What was that, Sarah?
He messed up one of the dishes pretty bad. I can't remember what now.
He did.
But his station was pretty clean, I guess. He's just did he learn mise en place over a week?
Well, I mean, it's a new format. Like, it's a competition, and you are under these time pressures, and you didn't really know where everything was. And so, yeah, maybe you just had to get used to it a little bit.
That's true. Oh, that's another. That reminds me. Another thing that's weird about doing these whole state seasons is that there isn't the Top Chef pantry. There isn't the Top Chef kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Last Chance Kitchen stays in L.A., but they're always in different kitchens. And so I feel like that's a little bit of a disadvantage that you don't get any repeat work on the who's the stove sponsor?
Well, actually, interesting point about that. They designed the kitchen this season to be modular and that they're actually taking that same equipment everywhere they go that they can set up with, warehouse space. So probably not the Palm Springs thing, but when they go to a city and they're camped out for a little while, they're going to basically set up that entire kitchen like note for note wherever they can. So they are going to get used to
the Kenmore stoves. Who's the stove sponsor?
I think it's GE.
Oh,
Kenmore is exclusively a Sears brand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The GE kitchen is modular.
Yeah, GE Monogram. Yeah,
right, that's Monogram. What it was. Monogram. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's their.
I'm just trying to make sure I get all the product
one.
Placement right. the Toyotas important. That they drove there.
Yeah,
it was not Terlato Rinds, right? It was a different wine this time.
Yeah, it was Sanford. But the cool. I mean, I enjoyed the fact that the prize was something a chef would really get a kick out of this one.
Okay,
I mean, we're kind of skipping ahead.
Explain that one to me, because she said, because they were like, the prize is you get a wine with its own label, and that sounded to me like here's a bottle of wine and a sticker printer.
No, well
let's. So let's actually. Why don't you lay out the elimination challenge while we're at it? I feel like this is a good time to.
Okay, sure. So the elimination challenge was going to be a surf and turf challenge where people paired up, they chose their partner, and they were going to make a surf and turf dish together. And then twist, now they're after they've shopped for the ingredients, they have to divide them up and compete against each other. It's surf versus turf, and whoever wins that, like whoever the diners vote for, and it's like a group of 9 diners total, including the people from Animal, Kat Cora, Dan Cowan, Blaze is there, Pat Miguel Tom, some other people. Whoever wins that is up for a win, and whoever loses that little two-person cook-off is up for elimination. But then of those, they pick the top 3 and bottom 3. But the whole thing is the prize isn't just you get a bottle of wine with a sticker on it. It's you get to go and select like your estate wine from their selection of estate wine, so something that they are growing in small batches, and that's going to be your unique blend and your unique barrel that they're not going to give to anybody else. A wine barrel is huge, by the way, and that is your barrel. You a lot of gallons. I don't know,
like 33.5.
Bigger than a man.
yeah. Bigger than a bread box.
So, but then that, you know, you get to put your label on it, and at your restaurant you get to say, we have a special blend, you know, that we selected from this winery, and this is ours and ours only. And that's a mark of prestige, and it's a mark that you are working directly with providers. It's sort of like when, you know, somebody has their own estate tea or their own estate coffee, exactly the same thing. Huh. And so that's a really cool prize for somebody who owns or works in a restaurant.
They did a great job of underselling that prize.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we don't know anything about wine, and so that's why we didn't get it.
Sure, but maybe, you know, assume some members of the audience like me are dumb. Maybe just...
Yeah. I just... Oh, well, no. Do you guys want to guess how many bottles are in a barrel of wine?
200.
Ooh.
It's more than that.
More than 200?
Really?
500?
It's less than that.
Okay, just tell us. Yeah, now you have to tell.
So in a 60-gallon wine barrel, there are approximately 300 750-milliliter bottles of wine.
Oh, yeah. Because it's a fifth, right? An alcohol bottle is a fifth, so 5 in a gallon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's a lot, you guys.
So that's enough where you could have that on your wine program for a little while.
I really would have appreciated it if they'd gotten the animators from Gold Rush to help us understand what a barrel of wine really is.
I would love any...
Just like,
or I would love to have just seen like Grayson floating in a barrel of wine. Like, this is more than a man.
This is more than Grayson's crazy insecurities worth of wine.
Let's talk about the challenge, you guys.
Yeah.
I adored this twist. I thought this was a great fun twist.
Why was that? Because I had a complimentary but opposite reaction.
I want to hear everybody's feelings about the twist. So
they shop together as a team, and then surprised they're working against each other. I'm not sure I normally would have loved that, but there were a couple of teams that were really not getting along. And so it was delightful to be able to make them go against each other, because like that was the best way that could happen for them.
Such and as? Who didn't like each other?
Oh, I can't remember. There's too many
Was
people.
It Francis and well, Jason?
It was Angelina and...
Giselle, sure.
Giselle didn't like each other.
Yeah, yeah. They were really having a tough time. Oh, and there was also that moment where it was like the Thai guy, or the guy who had to cook Thai who didn't know any Thai food.
Yeah, but they were Jason not Francis, getting along. Yeah. He was like... okay, if you want to cook those flavors, then I'll do it with you. And then it sort of was bad for him, although he didn't end up having the worst dish out of the two of them.
Yeah, exactly.
They also would have had really weird ingredients together. They were the same ones who had like the lamb and...
That's what I was thinking. So it wasn't that they didn't get along for them. It was like they ended up with rock crab and lamb, which don't actually surf and turf together.
But that was Kwame and Chad.
That was different.
Yeah.
So Kwame and Chad end up with these two non... Because it was one... Okay, so they started with the, here's a pile of meat, run and wrestle for it.
Yeah, yep. Another missed opportunity for our knife block,
knife
by the
block.
Way.
Knife block. Hashtag more knife block. But so I was like bummed for Kwame for Little Brother Moves On and his rock crab. And I wanted... I was bummed that he had to try to make that work with lamb. Didn't have to.
Did not him up. Have to.
I thought that was super fun.
Yeah. you know, so I agree with you in part, because there's also the case where, like, Karen and Marjorie, Karen was super excited to work with Marjorie, and all of a sudden, in a twist, she had to work against Marjorie, and that's a really interesting turn, and she was like, oh, man, I better show up with my A game, and she did. She cooked great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there were several bromances, and watching people
the whole
who like
thing is a big bromance.
There's a lot of bromance right now, but watching people who like each other have to cook against each other is super fun.
Yeah,
Ezra, what did you think about having the friends turned enemies surf and turf challenge twist?
Well, I mean, I think we can all take Kwame's example, right? Like, where just like you just want to do the best you can, like, and help the other guy, like, because here's the thing: if you both do well, then it doesn't really matter.
Right. True. That's true.
Yeah.
Like, at this stage of the game.
That's a good point.
Kwame is impressing the hell out of me.
President.
Kwame's the president.
He buttons all his buttons on his shirt, and he has low self-esteem, and I guess we're now best friends.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Yeah, I think that's a sort of the ideal situation, but I also like that with this twist, we get both the aspect of the challenge is highlighted, where it's like work together as a team, but then the reality of Top Chef is also highlighted, where it's like actually everyone for themselves in the end.
Oh, it's a metaphor.
It is. It's a metaphor for the entire show.
It's a delicious metaphor. That's the other thing, is that the team challenges are always so suspect whether they're actually team, because they're being judged separately. So I do like not teams, and so I like head-to-head competition that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What did you think?
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I just wanted to ask the group, what did you think about Grayson's decision? Because she was the one who won the quickfire, and she, because she wasn't in a pair, she got to choose what pair to compete against, where you know, it was now the best of three. And she chose one that she thought, or at least she said, that, you know, was challenging, essentially. Because wasn't that Amar and Jeremy?
I think so.
I mean, I have no idea who these people are, but yes.
Oh, Wesley.
Oh,
Amar,
okay.
Amar and Wesley.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
If they don't have a funny nickname, I have no way of remembering them. Too many people.
Well, so Pigpen and Amar, we haven't seen as much dramatic personality from yet.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But oh, yeah, yeah, Pigpen, because Pigpen's sous vide the ribeye.
Yes, oh, sous vide the ribeye, because he thought it would make it softer.
Like, ruined Tom's day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
a big
one. I felt
so bad for him.
Yeah. I was so shocked he didn't go home for that.
Also, I don't know that we've ever had somebody chew a bite of their own food and then just spit it onto the floor before.
And say it's crap.
Yeah, that was... It was like surprisingly affecting. Like every time they replayed that clip, I was like, "Oh!"
I wish it had been slow motion.
No,
gross.
I guess you got a slow motion version of that all weekend. As I'm sorry.
So that's not.
Oh.
So that's not that. So okay. So he wasn't being a Pigpen with his mise en place, but he was still spitting food on the floor.
Just onto the floor.
Yeah, but that food didn't go into Padma's mouth. So I think we're improving.
You know what else didn't go into Padma's mouth?
Fish.
That one fish.
She was so upset about it.
Why don't I get any?
That was my favorite thing of the season so far.
She was very passive aggressive.
Of all the people at the table, who don't you serve the fish to? And well, maybe
that,
like, would you guys
kind of a weird choice?
Well, would you have chosen differently?
Well, does Padma vote? I think she just...
She does.
She
totally
does. Does she?
She's
one
of the nine.
I thought she was just leading.
She couldn't that time because she didn't have any fish. She kept saying like, no, apparently this was very good, but I didn't get any fish. Like, she was so furious.
I would love this to happen again. And just like, as like... Just Padma never gets to eat for the rest of the season.
And no one shared their fish with her.
Well, that's
I was going to point this out as well, that like normally when things like this happen, we actually see somebody take a little bit of their portion, give it to the person who didn't get a portion, so they can at least weigh in. And in this case,
no
Padma just kept
going on.
Like, she just kept picking at the puree and then like staring at her like, that's right, no fish in this mouth.
I have 2 points about this. The first is that, you know, if I were picking anybody to have their disappointment be telegenic, I would pick Padma.
Yeah.
As opposed to some guy from a restaurant called Animal.
Although I love Cat Cora. Can we talk about Cat Cora for just a second? We'll come back to Cat, but I just love Cat Cora.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. But the other thing is, didn't Padma vote for the fish she didn't get?
No.
No, I don't.
I thought she said, well, everybody else really was enjoying.
No, because it was like 5-5 so it didn't actually matter at that point.
Oh, okay. Okay,
she just didn't vote for that one.
Yeah,
but and I like that. Yeah. Like they could say, like I was wondering if they were going to over-punish them for that, and they didn't. They were like, you can't win, obviously, because I didn't get any fish, but it was an amazing dish. And yeah, that's good. Yeah. I would hate if it was like you're on the bottom for cooking a perfect dish and then just not quite plating the last portion.
Sarah and I actually had like a strategy about this that we were talking about. Like if you could you just like say focus on making a great dish for just five people and hope that you sweep those five people and just like just screw over the other four and just like just like flyover states kind
of. Be like, I mean, listen, don't give Tom any of this fish.
No, that's a way to lose. Tom loves
fish. I think Tom would be a problem there. I don't think you couldn't skip Tom. Because Tom is the deciding vote on everything. Like, I knew Kwame was going to win because we heard his backstory. But especially when they were like, when he said Kwame for president early on, I was like, well, that's pretty obvious.
Yeah. Well, but we also heard Francis's backstory.
Yeah.
We heard.
No one said Francis for president, so...
Exactly, so that means Kwame wins.
No, I mean, it helped
home.
That he kicked some really bomb food, cooked some really bomb food. But still, I feel like backstory is a double-edged sword. Sometimes backstory means, like, you're going to sword a victory. Sometimes backstory means, like, why did you put squash in that?
Yeah, yeah.
It's so not necessarily...
We didn't know that Kwame was going to win when we heard his backstory. We knew he was going to win when we heard his backstory, and then his food was at least okay. As soon as we heard that much about Kwame and we hadn't heard anything from him before, either you're winning or losing today. And so if the thing is not terrible, you've got this victory.
Well, we did know he was a super pop-up machine.
We heard a little bit about his pop-up stuff. That's true. But that wasn't like pop-ups because of your drug problem. It was like...
Right, or like there was no picture of you as like a young thug in front of a car.
Yeah.
Exactly. Paul.
Love you, Paul.
Love you. Alex, I couldn't agree more. With this many chefs, when they choose one to focus on, they're either going to do good or bad. Once we get down to about half this number, they start doing the magic
out,
freak
out. Are we still at the too many cook stage, guys?
Oh. Yep.
Too many cooks?
When Alex can't remember how many or, who people are. That's my barometer.
Okay. I feel like we're due for a rub-a-dub double elimination situation.
I hope they present it this way.
That's
like I hope it's brought to you by like Tide or something like that.
Yeah, just like wash away a couple of chefs with one just elimination, maybe.
Two chefs in a bathtub kicked off the show.
Wesley, could you please get into this bathtub with Amar?
You drew your knife and you picked bathtub. Sorry about that.
That's where he'll be cooking tonight.
I think we're definitely up for a double at some point. And although I hate sudden death quickfires, I do want to narrow this. As long as it's not the wrong person. If it's one of the people who's been a little weak, get him out of here. I'm fine. Too many chefs.
We just like then retroactively, there's too many of you. We're just gonna look at your past quickfires and retroactively eliminate you because of that.
I love it.
Oh no,
totally.
Angelina gets to say the famous line now. I think that bitch beat me again. Giselle beat her twice.
That Wesley Wabbit.
Can I tell a quick Kat Cara story?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you have one?
I do. So I was in a friend's car with satellite radio, and we were listening to a hip-hop station, and it is just a day of hip-hop music, and then the guy goes, also, I got an interview with Kat Cora coming up here in a second. She's in the hallway.
What?
And they bring Kat Cora in, and I'm like, this is not an interview show. It makes no sense. And the DJ goes, man, you're my favorite chef. What happened was, like about a year ago, I got really high. And like too high to leave, and so I stayed home and I just watched Iron Chef all night. And your food was so beautiful, I cried. And she was just like, "I love the story." And it was the best interview I've ever heard with a chef.
Wow!
It was like he was not asking like there were not shishi food questions. He was just like, "Man, when you talk about food's beautiful, man." And then she would be like, "Thank you. This is some of the things I've thought of when I cook." It was just a beautiful interview. It was bonkers,
that is very
and
remarkable.
She handled it so well, and I just adored her from the way she handled that interview. So I was so happy.
She's a class act.
She really is. Yeah,
turns out.
She has a lot of swag.
And amazing on Iron Chef, and it's great to see her.
Yeah.
Even if it meant having to go to Santa Barbara.
it's beautiful there.
Santa Barbara, man. Yeah. I don't understand the Santa Barbara animosity.
There's so many worse places in California.
We're going to get into our mailbag here in a second, but Alex, I really would love to know, like, what would give you the best feeling about a location? If you can only have one episode in a location, like, do you think LA was a great template? Do you feel like there's more that you need?
I mean, I think that I don't know anything about Santa Barbara except that it was clearly not as exciting as LA because all they could show was one uni boat and then some wineries, which we're going to get plenty of wineries from the middle of California. I don't like leaving big city for little city. I don't like the feeling of only one episode. I think that's my... I have nothing against Santa Barbara. It's just like going from like big, exciting urban area to like, we're just going to sit on a cliff and cook whatever. Like, it just didn't feel like there was much to learn about it. I love the way they showed us a bunch of different parts of LA. But the fact that it was only one episode was a huge disappointment there too. So I think the problem is not how they approach one episode, but just doing one episode in a place feels like a bummer.
Yeah.
But specifically doing one episode in like an urban place.
Well, I mean, like, I like big cities over small cities. Sure.
See, so there's a slight personal preference involved too. I was just trying to understand like what the.
Yeah. But also the restaurants in general tend to be more in like there are more and better restaurants usually.
Yeah. It was just the excitement of like, oh, there's this, we're going to go to an Asian market and then cook in Thai town. And then this guy is going to cook in this square with this legendary Mexican chef, as opposed to just like this woman dragged these off the bottom of the ocean. Now let's go back to the winery.
But look at all the free
legendary ocean
people
though
that are just wandering around.
Yeah, that's true.
And to be fair, they didn't speak to that famous Mexican chef when they were in that square.
Well, they had the option. They chose not to because they were dumb.
I guess as is the Californian of the bunch, do you want to weigh in on Santa Barbara and its representation in this episode?
Yeah, please.
So again, just to restate, I did not realize there was Santa Barbara. So,
which may be true to you. Have you ever been in Santa Barbara and not realized you were in Santa Barbara?
I was in Santa Barbara once. Now that I think about it.
This may speak to my criticism, though.
No, here's the thing. All I know about Santa Barbara really is that I'm pretty sure I got into UC Santa Barbara.
Are you here?
And I thought it would have been a fun like safety school.
Santa Barbara. When you're here, you might know.
I also always mix it up between Santa Barbara and Santa Cruz. But I'm pretty sure Santa Barbara is
geographically quite distant.
Yeah. Well, I know they're south of me, and I know they're north of LA, and everything between there is kind of a wash, guys.
Wow, this is very illuminating.
So there you go. So, West Coast bias.
San Diego and San Jose also tough to tell apart.
Those I know. I've been to one of them.
It took me a while. I've got them now, but it took me a while to remember which was which.
The tops were Jeremy and Kwame and Karen.
And Kwame won because he got most of the backstory.
Yeah, he got the most backstory and the crispest shirt. And the bottoms, who got eliminated?
Caleb's trying to eat some headphones.
I looked away from the screen at the best time because I was not distracted at all.
Pretty great.
No,
Caleb, I need those headphones.
Francis and Angelina and Wesley were on the bottom, mostly due to just bad food.
Yeah.
And Francis had the worst food, so she got eliminated.
Sous vide beast. I like that they were so upset. Like, you put that ribeye in a bag. As if they weren't always making sous vide things. Like, all of a sudden you got a problem with bags today. Bags bother.
Yeah, you guys are all about bags.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I mean, my feeling on sous vide generally is that if it shows up, like, things are not going great. It's so rare that someone's like, you sous vide that perfectly. Yeah. That just never happens.
Well, and he was using it as, like, an emergency procedure.
Yeah.
Right, Although I don't like the idea that it's a weird emergency procedure.
Yeah. It's not, it isn't the sort of thing that I think you enter into is like, oh, this could go either way. Need this to go really well fast.
Right. And the idea that like, oh, this steak is really tough, so I'm going to not cook it enough. And then it's just going to be really rare and really, really chewy and tough.
Yeah.
And so I don't know enough about ribeyes. Why was the ribeye so bad? Was it the fault of the procurement or was it something that he did?
It didn't get tender enough.
Well, it didn't have enough fat. So, you know, basically a ribeye usually has some marbling and some fat that's going to make it so when you cook it, that fat renders and it kind of becomes juicy and tender. This one didn't have much marbling at all. So he thought if he were to cook it the way you normally cook a steak, that, you know, like in a pan or something like that, that it would be too tough. So sous vide, by cooking it slowly, he thought it could break down and it could become, you know, tender how he wanted it. But
if this is a restaurant, what would they have done with it that wouldn't have been in a bag? One of those horrible bags. Thanks, Ziploc, for sponsoring the show.
They may have used, I don't know, they may have used ribeye with more marbling, frankly. Yeah. I mean, they have more, they have the luxury of time.
Wesley blamed product selection, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's hard for us to know, like, one way or the other, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm not entirely sure.
I just assume they're buying great stuff, but maybe there's nothing good in Santa Barbara.
Oh, that seems too facile. it's a small place we barely know we're in. Oh, Sarah, actually, why don't you tell us, do you have any feelings about Santa Barbara and how it was represented?
Did you know you were in Santa Barbara right now?
Yeah. I knew we were there. I have been there, but not recently, and I just kind of think of it as a party school, beach town, winery place that you sometimes pass through if you take the slow route.
You don't take the 5?
I do take the 5. It's not on the 5. It is on the coast. Yeah.
It's on the one, the 101.
It is.
Duly noted.
So are you guys sad to see Frances go?
Yeah.
I liked her personality a lot. I liked her spunk.
But she had, like, maybe too much backstory. I mean, she cooked. She's a professional pool player. She is a recovering drug addict.
She worked in Saudi Arabia.
Wait a second.
In Saudi Arabia for 7 years.
A professional pool player.
Yeah, I think I missed that too. When did that happen?
Oh, that's in her intro video.
Oh, crazy. Yeah.
Cool.
Now
I'm really
upset
that she left. Now I like her a lot.
Well, she just has a stack, and she's from the Philippines, so she's, you know, already has the coming to America story. She has so many different stories wrapped up in one that somebody like Carl just could never compete. You know?
Except that his cheekbones can cut glass.
Well, that's okay. So. Not Carl. Let's Chad.
Who's Chad?
Exactly.
Precisely.
Well, now on the plus side, Frances gets to hang out with the woman who looks just like her wife.
I know. That's so weird.
Oh, yeah.
The weird, yeah, the
that
weird
was her plan all along.
Can we talk about Last Chance Kitchen? Because I really had a good time with
we
Last
can,
Chance.
We can, but first I want to encourage people, if you've heard our discussion of Santa Barbara and you're in Santa Barbara, this might be a time when you'd want to become part of our
mailbag.
Oh, dueling mailbag.
It's new.
Sorry, I forgot.
It's because we didn't practice last time. Remember, guys? Yeah,
That's true. I canceled mailbag rehearsal. Sorry.
I went to the sectional. So, were you guys not there?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You were a very attentive student, Alex. Thank you.
Mailbag.
So there are a couple of different ways you can get in touch with us. We are on Twitter at Pack Your Mics, and we're also on Facebook at facebook.com/packyourmics. And then you can also write to us through our website, which is packyourmics.com. Let's start out with the Facebook comments.
Okay. So we had a couple people write into our Facebook, and I'm still pulling up the website. So thanks for starting out there.
I was wondering why you were talking so slow.
It's right here. Look.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's see. First, we had Joan write in.
Yay, Joan.
Great to see you again, Joan.
Yeah, totally.
Yay!
Yeah, he wrote in to us throughout the last season. So he was noting that with Frances leaving, we now no longer have any sous chefs on the show.
Mm. Yeah, that was the thing. Like, Frances being the only sous chef seemed like, was that season, like season one, where one person was like, I'm still in culinary school. And we're like, well, that's not going to work.
Yeah, exactly. So now nobody.
I'm self-taught.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah,
right.
I teach at a culinary school. Yeah. All
right. Yeah.
Well, enjoy your 2 episodes.
I mean, I love the idea of a sous chef because there's somebody who can bang out a lot of like mise or a lot of, you know, prep work or something. Mm-hmm. But ultimately for Top Chef, they tend not to win for a reason, I think. But he said that, Grayson, if you lose your sassiness and disrespect, I might like you again. I don't think she can win, but she can make it far.
Mm.
I mean, I have
agree.
No idea, because she was so bad 1 week and then decent another week. It's hard to know how much she was actually capable of.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think this is where we might want to do an interdisciplinary mailbag. Because
mailbag.
So,
mailbag.
Well, and
interdisciplinary
mailbag.
So we actually had a question from Trojan Topher on Twitter, and he wanted to know, what are the odds that Grayson is overcompensating for being incredibly insecure?
Hmm.
What do we think about that? Like, what's our read on Grayson and what she's portraying versus what's actually going on with her?
What's the inevitable collapse watch?
The souffle watch on Grayson.
When I was a kid, my mom would always say that the people who were being mean to me, it was because they were insecure. And now that I'm an adult, I think sometimes they're just mean and I was a dork.
Yep.
So she could be insecure or she could be mean. I think those are both reasonable options.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or unhappy in her life.
Well, sure. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. She does. She hasn't fallen in love with peas yet, so she doesn't really know the true meaning.
Yeah.
Remember, call back Big Siege? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yep. We're there. Okay. So we also had Eliza.
Also, isn't Alyssa? Joan one of the people on Twitter with a different name that we kept I remember last season. I think we had two people that were the same person that we kept addressing differently.
Oh no, we had two Mikes.
Well, no, we had two Mikes. We also had two Jasons.
But and then Joan and a not Joan, but it was really same Joan.
That's what I think. We also had two people, both of whom were Joan, I think. Joan, write in and tell us.
Yeah, this time Joan is keeping it simple by writing to us on Facebook. So far, so good, but we'll keep a close
eye. Unless Joan's, Topher.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Chris Togama is also a fan of Read and Weep.
Oh, Chris. Okay.
We're keeping it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So on Facebook, we also had Eliza Bennett Martin write in, and she said, what other reality shows need sea urchins and how would they use them? For instance, Dance Moms.
Definitely.
And if it were Gordon Ramsay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Gordon Ramsay would definitely throw them at someone, she says.
Ouch, that would hurt.
Yeah, that would be kind of gnarly. Yeah. Aren't they poisonous also if you do it wrong?
Yeah.
So, you know, low stakes.
Yeah. I think we already talked about Gold Rush a bit and how we think they would, dredge or something.
Yeah. Well, that was more of a Deadliest Catch.
Well, that was for the wine barrel, but...
Yeah.
Deadliest Catch is a really good crossover.
Yeah, the four-minute show.
Oh, my gosh.
I would enjoy, actually, if there was a challenge where they were on a Deadliest Catch crab boat as opposed to one of those in-port urchin boats. So they're like, now you're cooking in a galley, but 40-foot swells.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. By the way, did you see that maybe the biggest storm ever is hitting Dutch Harbor soon?
No.
Yeah.
Opie season.
I know.
It's so dangerous.
So our thoughts.
Be safe, everybody.
And with those sailors.
Especially the Hanson family. And not as much with the mean people. But
yeah.
Wild Bill, you're getting better. You've gotten less wild. And you're treating your son better, which is really important to all of us.
Yeah, that's not the Hanson family. But
no, I know. Yes. That's what I'm saying. I was other people. I was listing other people that are okay.
Just to answer this very
quickly. More Deadliest Catch.
Yeah.
What?
Just to answer this very quickly. Every reality show to me should be American Gladiators on NBC. And so I would think that...
The revival.
Yeah. I would think that all the swimming challenges, the bottom of the pool would be uni. So if you dive too deep, you could get hit by uni.
Oh.
You guys... Well, so obviously we've all been missing American Gladiators. But have you guys been watching... Ninja Warrior?
No, not as much as we'd like to.
It's not quite American Gladiators, but it is pretty great. It's more like, can this dentist who has built a rock wall in his backyard do this incredible inhuman thing?
See, I feel like if we were to all watch Ninja Warrior and Steve Austin's Skullbuster Challenge, we might be able to get most of the adrenaline that you get from watching American Gladiators.
I'm not familiar with that second show. Can you tell me more about that?
Tani and I saw it on a TV in the background at some terrible restaurant.
Yeah, it was a lot. But no, Steve Austin has created this desert obstacle course, and a lot of former Marines and general crazy people just take a go at it.
Yeah, and also at each other. There's just a lot of one-on-one grappling challenges as well.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
But I don't think I don't think I could ever have enough obstacle course TV shows in my life.
No, I would definitely say give it at least one watch. There's a lot of people being told what their challenge is and then just screaming that they can do it, which is really intense. Yeah.
The thing about American Ninja Warrior that's hard to deal with is what war are you preparing for?
Sure.
What war are they the Russians are coming? Run up the warped wall. They hate that. What? It's pretty much a lot of just dangling from your fingers and not war. But
now, Sarah, have you seen American Ninja Warrior? Are you?
No, I don't think I've seen any other reality TV show other than Top Chef in 4 years.
Mm. Okay,
you're missing.
Well, that's convenient because you are on the podcast about Top Chef.
I know.
Chef.
Yeah. I did it right. I think
other shows.
I don't know why I'm on the podcast for American Ninja Warrior.
Surprise, you are now on the American Ninja podcast. And that
good old bait and switch.
Yep. Ninja talkie.
Oh, Ninja talkie.
I love it.
So do we have do we have more with the?
No, actually, well, Ez has a mailbag for
us. He does. Ezra's mailbag, huh? Ezra's mailbag from Ezra. Yeah, he's at the baby.
Can we hear me? Can we talk about can we talk about Last Chance Kitchen?
Yeah.
Yes, let's talk about Last Chance Kitchen.
I just want to say how much I love Last Chance Kitchen, you guys. It's just one of my favorite things. And I love that when Top Chef is over, there's still 12 more minutes of Top Chef.
Oh, man, it's great.
It's so fun.
And the challenges are so good and so wacky.
It's sort of like the Top Chef leftovers, where you you think, oh, that meal was so great. Oh, there's more. There's a little more.
Oh, I thought you meant...
There's a little more in the fridge.
The next day.
Yeah.
Also,
I do think the challenges are more interesting. I feel like they're doing a better job with the challenge creation there.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
So this challenge was really interesting because this was yet another time Tom has a random cause. And Tom's new cause this time was...
I'm so glad that Hidden Valley Ranch is dedicated to reducing food waste.
Yep, so to using all of the vegetable instead of some of the vegetable.
It's a huge problem, guys.
It's a huge problem.
We leave all of our beet peels.
Yeah. So they choose one vegetable each, and they have to do it three ways with just that one vegetable. They have to use as much of it as they can, and all their trimmings have to go on the counter. And if you have more trimmings that you didn't use, that will count against you.
It'll be somehow randomly figured into a non-numeric system.
Sure. Yeah, basically, if one person used only a tiny bit of the veg and had a great meal, and the other person cooked almost as good but used all the veg, maybe that'd be a difference maker.
A balancing factor.
Didn't matter here, but one of their pairings has to use either Hidden Valley Ranch dressing or Hidden Valley Ranch dressing seasoning mix, because the good folks at Hidden Valley care so much about preventing food waste and making sure this food doesn't get wasted.
See, I'm frustrated by, if that was a main challenge, it would irritate me so much. But the idea, in Last Chance Kitchen... Now it should be the time where you have to cook with ranch dressing. I think that's perfect. And I love awkward sponsor tie-ins. That's one of my favorite things now.
Yeah. And now it's just a vegetable dish. Like, it's focused. Like, they know what they're about. And they each pick one veg and they go for it.
Now, in a restaurant, wouldn't it be like all the peels go into a stock? Like, are they really throwing away all the bottoms?
I mean, it's hard to say.
Depends or compost. I think a lot of places probably do that, right?
Yeah. To then go to their rooftop garden where they're growing. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't all restaurants have a rooftop garden with a compost pile?
They do now.
I mean, that's the entirety of Detroit, right? That's what I've been led to believe. So.
It's all one big compost pile, actually.
It's just one big, one big rooftop garden, please.
I'll love to Detroit. Francis chose broccoli and Garrett chose beets.
I just want to point out that our love to Detroit was so much smaller than our love to crab fishermen in Dutch Harbor during a storm.
Yeah, well, I guess Detroit is legitimately facing more present danger than Dutch Harbor all the time. Oh, sorry, Detroit.
Anyway, so what did they have to do?
We kind of walked through the challenge.
Yeah, so they did three pairings. So Francis did broccoli, Garrett did beets. And Garrett even fried the peel
when they said, because you could just eat the bottoms.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, Francis felt she was on easy street with broccoli. Garrett took it to the next level with his use of the beet peelings because he fried them.
Yep.
And
Tom
that ended up getting him
giddy about the fried.
He was really good not get over, man. Thought you were gonna toss all the peelings, but you didn't. You fried them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he was waiting to see those in his pile.
And it worked.
It
made it better.
Garrett was like, well, I've got these beet peels. I guess I'll throw them in the fryer instead of the garbage. Like, he really didn't seem like he cared. And then Tom was so stoked.
But I did like that there was a little bit of extra explanation that they had less sugar in them, so they would actually fry up better.
Yeah, that was neat.
I thought that was an interesting detail.
Yeah.
I liked that bit of knowledge.
I would try a beet peel chip.
Should we do this with everything we're going to throw in the garbage? Should we just throw it in the fryer first and see what happens?
Nope.
Tom will like us for it?
It's the winning strategy.
If we're trying to impress Tom, it's sort of like if you give spicy food to Padma, you give some fried garbage and fish to Tom.
Hey, guys, I was going to throw out this old newspaper, but I just figured I'd put it in the fryer first.
Low sugar content.
Good pickle. Like, why not fry some newspaper?
Why not fry the skins?
I love this presupposes that we all have a fryer with hot oil ready to go in all of our homes.
It's kind
of
rad. Yeah, I like that.
You get one every time you get a kid. It's just common sense.
Yeah.
Just leave it in there. Safety first.
I I liked the broccoli things. I would have eaten most of those things.
Yeah. Broccoli looked good. Beets looked a little weird to me.
But he said the beets were bland. And so it's funny he won with really bland beets, but just fried peels.
Yeah. Well, did you see how spicy Francis's food is? Where she's like, chef, I think I nailed this. And he's like, you should taste your food after this.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no, I thought that was because she may have used too much of the ranch seasoning, but he couldn't say that.
Yeah.
There's no way he could actually say
that. Crossed my mind as well.
That's it. Spicy is code for too much Hidden Valley ranch seasoning.
It was quite intense.
Yeah. With ranch.
That's such a great point. What if they had made a dish where he was like, man, this is pretty excellent, but there's this really garbagey seasoning mix.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
That's my new favorite theory.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, how many times are they saying things that are code for the sponsor sucks?
Yeah.
Like the wine pairing, I just feel like you did. Like it wasn't quite right, and what they mean is the wine was terrible.
Yeah.
That feels very probable for our friends at Hidden Valley.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but they care so deeply about food waste.
I mean, Hidden Valley, though, they are the only ranch that I know. So, I mean, they're kind of corner of the market.
Newman's
right?
Own.
Yeah, I was going to say Newman.
Oh.
Whoa.
I don't even, and that's both because I've seen that, but also because Newman's Own makes one of everything, and so you can just guess.
That's true.
You can just yell Newman's Own whenever you need to.
When in doubt.
This is the only lemonade or Oreos I can think of.
According to my grandma, Newman's Own donates all their profits to charity.
Yeah, they do.
No,
that is accurate.
Actually, I don't think that is. I'm sorry. I think it's true that Newman's Own donates some portion of their profits to charity, and that they're real sketchy about how much it actually is. I believe.
Whoa,
no,
I believe 100%.
Newman's Own duping grandmas everywhere.
I won't tell her. I'm not going to tell her that. Trust me.
Don't tell her. It was a project last year, like a Wikipedia wormhole, and I think that's what I'm pretty sure that's what I learned. Could be wrong. Sorry,
that's the problem with learning things on the internet.
I guess if you have a theory about Newman's Own, you could write into our.
Mailbag.
Oh, we're doing it fast now? Sorry.
Yeah.
You had it come to rehearsal as. But actually, I'm bringing mailbag back around because you had a contribution for us.
Yeah, well, this is from you. I want to know your guys' thoughts on this. I guess I have a two-parter, but I'm probably going to cut one of the parts. So the important thing is we have a friend who recently has found out that after like 30-ish years of not being able to eat dairy, she can totally eat dairy now. So what should be at the top of her eat list?
Bingo, bango.
Oh, and also still no nuts and no eggs. But everything else, dairy, go to town.
Oh, all the cheese.
So you're asking for how we would do it? What's the plan?
Yeah, right. So it's like you've got the train wheels taken off your tongue for the first time in 30 years. What do you go eat?
Slow and steady. Don't rush it. You have a lifetime of dairy. You're going to try and eat every cheese tomorrow. And I had a friend who went from being vegan to vegetarian, and all of a sudden, like, it just she never stopped talking about cheese for months.
Oh no!
And she was like a drug addict with the cheese. She was like, oh, I'm trying an unpasteurized cheese today. I just love the danger.
Yeah, I think cheese and ice cream.
Yeah, ice cream.
Yeah, but doesn't ice cream have eggs? No,
non-egg ice cream. Some does.
Yeah.
Custard.
Yeah, it depends.
Mm, custard ice cream.
Choose
does.
Carefully.
Yeah.
Well, let's formalize this a little bit. So, Alex, you're saying take it slow. Don't go crazy.
But is there a single food recommendation you have?
I would say so. Mild cheeses, working up to more farmy, adventurous cheeses. I'm going to say open with Manchego.
Subtle.
So you're going straight to cheese.
A little subtle.
Definitely. Okay. And Megan, are you
it's
on cheese?
It's got less
too?
Lactose, I think, than a lot of milks. The cheese.
Yeah, I mean, cheese That's is true. Like 50% of my diet. So
That's turf, right?
Yeah, that's close enough.
We're not eating any fish cheese, so I'm pretty sure we're turf.
So yeah, I definitely suggest cheese. It's pretty good.
What would be your introductory cheese? What would you give someone who hadn't had cheese? What's like? Here's the cheese.
I mean, I like cheddar. Cheddar is pretty good. Yeah.
Cheddar's a good cheese.
I like cheddar, but...
Yeah.
I like the complexity of an aged cheddar. I feel like that's fun.
Yeah, definitely a sharp cheddar. Yeah.
Yeah, and not too challenging, not too punchy or pungent.
Right. I probably just do...
still fun.
Yeah, not one of, like, I think it's, like, English cheddar or something that is sometimes very, very flavorful.
Mm-hmm.
Coastal. Yeah, I probably do. Yeah, you could just start with like Tillamook or something, you know.
Yeah, Tillamook Black Wrapper.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah.
A lot of votes for cheese over here.
As did you see, did you say this is, the question is, what is going to be the first thing you recommend for her to do?
No, not the first thing. Just like, what do you want on, she's got a list that's going, so what would you put on the list? And we can put this out to the fans also.
Okay, y'all been pretty subtle. My answer is a whole mess of nachos. You just go to crazy with it. Like, just have all the nachos. This is your first time. Binge on it. Get used to it. Realize the nacho as the perfect salsa delivery vehicle.
Yeah, and put some sour cream on there.
Sour cream is the best.
Sour cream on nachos. What other food types? Let's branch out. What else we got?
Milkshakes.
So I mean, my main thing was I was recommending a lot of like butter based things. So I
because
like the cake world of bechamel is now open to you as well. So I was saying like my favorite sandwich is a croque monsieur, which is both cheese and very buttery. Like I think just anything French is you can't really go too wrong.
My favorite sandwich is a hot dog.
Nope.
More of this.
We're just gonna breeze by this.
All right, and that was mailbag.
Oh, pizza. Right.
Pizza.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, pizza's a good one, too. All right, well, if you have more for the must-do dairy list, let us know right into
mailbag.
Ooh, lattes also.
Oh, gosh, lattes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, cappuccinos, too.
So much good.
All right, so finally, let's get to predictions. What are people foreseeing? Obviously, Kwame is going to run for president, possibly against Kanye, after Kanye. We're not sure.
Wait, with can we have a Kwame-Kanye ticket?
Oh yeah. Maybe he's going to be VP?
Yeah. Huh? One or the other. I don't care which way it goes.
Who
not going to do a full campaign, but like a pop-up presidency.
Yeah.
He's running for president in a phone booth.
And you know, something else that Chris Tokahama wanted to know is how are we feeling on the Philip Odious meter? Like, how's that going?
Did he
better?
I
don't think he could have possibly gotten less terrible. I think the edit just didn't have time for him this week.
On the air, like we saw this actually on the air. It was an hour 15. Like, this is a longer episode. Like, they had ample time if they wanted to make him look bad.
Why was it a 75 minute?
So many chefs.
Santa Barbara, man. It's great.
Because at 60 minutes in, they realized they were in Santa Barbara. I think Pigpen has been too quiet, and I think he is done for. I'm going to say Pigpen goes home next week.
Well, what do we think about Angelina? I was going to say Angelina is the one that I feel nervous about right now.
Yeah, she's been on
the
bottom.
How are people feeling about babyface Angelina?
I think Angelina is one of those people who rides the edge.
Oh. Yeah,
I think she goes five more.
Five.
She's
more.
Not. She's. Wow. She's not making huge.
I think
mistakes.
She's like whatever the opposite of a bride. She's the bridesmaid to that all the time. She's second worst.
Opposite. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. We've had chefs like that who've been consistently second worst.
She's the date of the drunkest guest at a wedding.
Always the drunkest guest. Never the drunkest guest.
Okay.
I think that's what it is. Always the plus one, never the drunkest guest. I'm going to say that. She rides the edge for a while, and Pigpen goes home.
Mm. Is anyone else in super danger?
No. I mean, not...
Can we remember anyone else?
No. I mean, Philip and Grayson are the two who've been, like, pretty weak-ish slash nobody's
But Grayson had a good
quick fire.
She's had some strong up, strong down.
Yeah, right. She also won her, like,
Who's the woman that I like that won with the dessert?
Marjorie. She didn't do as well this time, right?
She did well, but
I think it was just she was
outcooked by Karen.
Yeah.
No, but it also looked like the 60s and the pork was dry, according to this.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, that's true.
I don't understand what the 60s
but
looked like.
Not bottom three by any means.
No, but
she's
if you do a killer dessert and then you do a weak main.
Worrisome.
That's such a bad sign.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Try to win with a salad?
Yeah.
top salad. Although, right, so far, I'm doing well with my prediction of, like, Garrett, like, almost running the table, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, so far, you haven't so far smallest data sample set possible. You are not wrong.
The two people were going to make out or turn into a super chef together. I don't remember exactly.
Are they going to Voltron?
Yeah.
Oh, they were going to Rat King. You had a Rat King prediction. Yeah. So far, unrealized.
So far, no Rat King. We are free from Rat Kings.
It's not disproven though.
Good stuff.
I'm going to say one other prediction. They will leave Santa Barbara, not even notice.
I'm not going
to
notice.
Go to Palm Springs and really know it's the desert, though.
Yeah, we're gonna get into some serious desert next time.
Mirror cooking.
Gonna be all turf all the time.
All right. Yeah. Well, if that's all the predictions, I think that's all we have for this week.
I love it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everybody. Yeah. So we're going to hop in the van. Chris, we're going to have you stay here, wherever this is.
Huh? Where am I? I want to go with you.
No.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Just,
there's a podcast studio back in L.A.
Town. Just hang out.
Yeah. Oh, Chris, this was your fallback city.
Yeah. This is my safety city.
This is your safety city, so you pack your mics and stay in Santa Barbara.
Oh.
It's apparently nice, I've heard.
Yeah, my friends went there really liked it, so.
Yeah.
You had an okay run.
Hey, guys, can we hurry this up? I have my podcast recording for American Ninja Warrior.
Can't wait to hear it.
All right, well, thanks, everybody, so much. You can visit us at packyourmics.com, on Twitter at packyourmics, and on Facebook at facebook.com/packyourmics. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.